our mission is to democratize growth. We want to let any small business of any size immediately connect with their customers. And immediately, start historically, right? There's been huge barriers to entry when it comes to growth. You have to raise venture. You have to hire an expensive ad agency, a marketing agency. You have to hire all these people. It's all automated for you. We deliver growth through generative AI.
We are diving into an episode that is going to inspire you with tales of growth and scaling from one of our guests. Today's guest is going to be special because we hand select people who are actively building and growing their businesses, people who know what it feels like to be in your position. As a listener of this podcast, trying to figure out what your next growth steps are, and they're going to share with us those insights, that journey, and what they're doing right now to position themselves in a better place for growth and scaling. So check it out if you haven't done so already and subscribe to our channel. We are bringing some awesome business leaders into your circle, into your headphones, into your computer monitor today to show you what you can be doing to grow and scale your business. Share the love, subscribe to the channel, and at the end of this episode, to see what you should be doing next to grow and scale your business. Hey, welcome back to the show. We are so excited today to talk about a nice up-and-coming business. Hikari, would you please tell us who you are? And what do you do?
I'm Hikari Senju, the founder and CEO of OmniKey. OmniKey generates personalized ads at scale.
That's awesome. Okay, personalized ads at scale. You clearly are someone who knows how to capture in the first few seconds of a pitch. How do you do what you do? And why did you see this as being a demand center that you wanted to jump into?
Well, absolutely. So very quickly about the company, the way it works is we integrate with the customer's marketing stack. We get real-time data about what keywords, phrases, imagery, video, action objects is driving results. And then we use that to autonomously generate new images and video creative that customers can launch across Meta, Google, LinkedIn, and all the different other ad platforms.
So you said autonomously, like by themselves, it's doing this?
The customer can go in and launch it directly from our platform.
Wow.
Yes.
The creatives and everything?
The creative is all autonomous, yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So we were just talking about some interesting AI movements just prior to turning go on this thing, but walk us through that process. What does that look like? If I'm an onboarded client with you, and I want to run a new ad set, what does that look like?
You sign up, you upload your website. We go in, pull all the data from your website. We take all the product photos, the product descriptions. We get your brand information, your fonts, your brand colors autonomously. That's all pulled from your website, as well as you can upload your own brand book. And you can kind of also verify this information. We say, hey, is this information correct?
Cool.
And then we'll just generate thousands of ads for you. You literally just click a button and we do it. And, you know, if you want, you can specify, is it a product video? Is it an avatar video you want? What is the, particular products you want to showcase, et cetera. But all that's done for you. We can go edit the creative after it's generated. We have a robust video and image editor. You can create longer form videos as well. Then launch it to your platform of choice straight from our dashboard. Once it's launched, we have an analytics dashboard where you can keep track of the performance of your creative and see what is it that's actually driving and impacting my return on ad spend, driving higher sales. And then that information is autonomously fed back in to the generation process. We close that loop. And it's this autonomous system for constantly improving your
So you're literally, campaigns. This is actually replacing an agency to a large degree of needing to contract this out to someone managing and watching the stuff.
And it starts, it's a 7-day free trial and it starts at $99 a month.
Shut up. What?
Yeah.
Dude. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. That's amazing.
Thank you. Well, this is why we're growing so quickly. So we just, we've been growing 50% month for month for the past 6 months. We've just passed 10 million ARR. It's one of the, we're one of the fastest growing ad generation platforms out there.
Which makes sense. Okay. So walk me through this because I want to slow that down just a second because I'm a marketer and I understand what you're saying. A lot of people don't. So let's back this up for the people out there. They're like, okay, because a lot of our audience are people that are likely your avatar. They have proven that their company works. They've launched. They're now trying to, maybe they're 1 to 5, maybe 10 million in revenue. And they're thinking, okay, we've gotten to this point with very minimal ads, or we don't really understand how to reach our addressable market effectively. They plug into a system like you, and then you do what for them?
We deliver higher sales.
Perfect. Okay. I love your brevity. This is like so perfect. Okay. So you just deliver higher sales, meaning for those of you listening.
Meaning we will run the ad, you know, through our system, you can run more ads. It will drive, you can measure the how much sales each ad is delivering for you. And then you can choose to increase your ad spend. You can choose to launch more creative. You can choose to launch a new ad platforms. And it's but what we sell really is revenue in a box. I mean, you sign up, you plug into our AI system, our agentic system, and we deliver you better. We deliver you personalized, scalable growth. And that's predominantly, you know.
That's awesome.
We're doing this through our end-to-end workflow.
Measuring conversion paths, because I know that a lot of, like, as a previous agency owner, some of the biggest challenge with most, like, small to mid-sized companies is understanding what conversion path looks like, how to take someone from initial lead or even audience or impression into a funnel that then gets them to conversion. Assuming that you're looking past that, you're looking for clients that already understand that flow, or does this help them map the flow so they can track better and get better reporting?
Our average customer is the small business, you know, to your point. It could be even actually much smaller than what you described. So it could be a two-person shop. It can be literally an entrepreneur that just got started and maybe has a product, or, you know, or maybe has a website, or maybe has an Instagram page with their product. That's all you need to plug into our system. We'll start generating creative for you. You can launch the ads through our platform, and then you can see how those ads are performing in terms of actually delivering higher, you know, delivering the bottom line for you. Is it increasing sales or not?
That is nuts.
You know, we say our mission is to democratize growth. We want to let any small business of any size immediately connect with their customers and immediately, you know, start. Historically, right, there's been huge barriers to entry when it comes to growth. You have to raise venture. You have to hire an expensive ad agency, a marketing agency. You have to hire all these, you know, people. It's all automated for you. We deliver growth through
and in terms of like AI. Niching into your avatar and understanding your ICPs, like that's part of the biggest value that an agency brings to people, is helping them identify where they're at, how to get in front of them. What does your platform do to help people do that part of it?
Well, we do the research as well. So we have a creative brief feature that actually will generate a marketing plan for you. It'll tell you target audiences, who we think will perform well for. And then we have, again, all these analytics where you can track the performance of your different ad sets and campaigns targeting different audiences. And then you can measure, okay, well, it's, and then you can also input your own target. You say, I have an idea that my, or actually a belief, or I'm building for this particular audience. You would input that into our, you know, the ad generation, campaign generation.
Crazy.
And then we'll generate creative, whether it's a personalized avatar ad. So avatar ad is like, you know, it looks like a UGC video.
Yeah.
It's an AI. Yeah. It's an AI UGC video that showcases your product, or it'll create video ads for you or graphic designs for you. And
are most of the video, is most of the video content that you're producing, is it mostly like faceless?
No, with a voiceover? It's today, UGC, AI UGC video is essentially or almost entirely indistinguishable from a human made UGC video. So it is not faceless. It is, and in fact, you can upload your own face to it, and it will generate an ad of your own face selling your product if you wanted to. Or you can insert some other face you want.
Well,
or you can generate a face. You can generate multiple faces and then create avatar ads with those faces.
I think most of us are looking for someone better looking than ourselves to represent our company.
Absolutely. I feel you. And so, you know, and actually maybe you want, you know, again, depending on the target audience, you may want different faces, right? Because at the end of the people, you know, you want to appear comfortable with somebody, you want to, you know, be look familiar to somebody, right? And so, so again, for different target audiences, you want to test different personas and test different avatars.
Yeah.
And so you can quickly generate those through our system and then launch those ad sets and campaigns through
our platform. Okay. So I get it. And I think our audience gets it, because this is kind of the product that everyone like hopes is out there, but doesn't know where to find it. And so in the meantime, they're just like hodgepodging all these other AI pieces together to try to create this. You've already got this in a system for $99 a month, and people can sign up and get started for free.
Yes.
I'm assuming you've got some link we'll put in down the promo code or something to get them going. Is it that easy? Like, are we there?
Yeah. So you can go to www.omnikey.com, create a free trial and see for yourself.
Okay. Nuts. All right. That's awesome. So now let's talk about your business, because now that we understand what you do, let's talk about how you do it. Because a lot of our listeners are kind of at that stage where they're like, okay, I get it. I've got my avatar. I'm already hitting him. We're generating sales. But when it comes to growth strategy, you're obviously, you mentioned your growth right now. Every 6 months, you're doubling revenue. Is that what you said?
Well, every month we're growing revenue 50% from the previous month.
Nuts. That's nuts. Okay. So that's intense growth. So how are you handling that? Walk us through like first of all, how did you get to that rapid of a growth? And secondly, were there some key decisions that you had to make early on in building this business to get you to that level of growth? What were those things?
Well, this has been, you know, a slow bake situation, right? It's kind of like a caterpillar leaving the chrysalis kind of situation. I mean, the company was initially founded, you know, founded in 2018. Initially the company was bootstrapped. It was more of a professional services business. It was more of like a consultancy or agency
where
go in and we do a lot of custom work for our customers to drive these higher ROI advertising campaigns for them. We were harnessing the cutting edge Gen AI. Even back then, we were, you know, using GPT-2 models to generate copy back in 2019. And then we're using GPT-3.
That's very early stage adopter.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we were, you know, we were one of the first movers. We were the first mover in the space when it comes to advertising creative. But really pivoted to the self-service motion last year, May of last year, where now it's, you know, to this new model that's a free trial, $99 a month to start. You know, we may be releasing some cheaper tiers and other offerings. And that's really what's been fueling growth. But like this product was built over many, many, many years of deeply understanding the customer pain points, the customer workflows, the data integrations with the different ad networks and ad platforms, distribution integrations to launch the ads, obviously developing deep expertise in terms of the cutting edge of generative AI. We're based in Silicon Valley where, you know, we have tons of machine learning engineers building the cutting edge products for our customers. And so it was definitely, you know, overnight success built over 7-8 years.
I get it. I hate it when people assume that you're an overnight success when you've, overnight over the last 8 years.
Yeah. And so exactly. And so like we're experiencing this hockey stick growth now today, but that's a result of all the groundwork we'd put in 7 years prior to this point.
Love it. Okay. So as you've kind of evolved the model, obviously leaning into AI from a very early point in your development from a software perspective, but that doesn't always mean that you're going to see the growth that you're seeing now. Obviously, there's been some smart decisions made. There's been some key like strategy that you've been able to deploy to get you from being an agency using some cool tech tricks to now being what you are now in your current iteration.
Right. Well, so, I'm a serial entrepreneur. So I had started, I studied computer science at Harvard, focusing on machine learning. I had started a venture-backed company in college, which was a consumer app for learning. It was like a personalized learning application. It was acquired, led marketing. And so I've always been entrepreneurial and I knew, I did not start a consultancy in 2018 intending it to be a consultancy. I started a consultancy with the explicit goal of that consultancy and kind of professional services business incubating this product that would eventually stand on its own feet. So that was always the goal. And we definitely made trade-offs while I was operating this kind of more professional services business in terms of growth versus product development, revenue growth or cash flow instead of product discovery and market research and investments in terms of sales versus engineering as well, right? Like we'd hire engineers and invest in engineering versus just, you know, hiring more salespeople and professional services people. And so that was, again, a 7-year time frame of, again, just constantly reinvesting into product and engineering and market research and product feedback versus some of the other objectives that, you know, if the goal was different. So the get-go from the very beginning was this professional services organization would exist purely to incubate this self-serve product that will eventually stand on its own feet. And 2015 was really the period where we really felt confident in the technology to stand on its own 2 feet. 2015, I think, is a period where AI surpassed the ability of the average designer to create good graphic designs. And so we thought, okay, well, this is the moment we've been waiting for. Let's do this hard pivot to the self-serve motion. And then we haven't been looking back since.
That's awesome. Okay. Now, obviously, looking back, I think that you know, me personally, in that same time range, I'm thinking, okay, you know, using AI seems scary to me, sounds cool, but I think I'd rather use my team that's overseas to help me create my creatives and all that kind of stuff. Like, how have you overcome that fear? I mean, obviously today is different than it was 6 years ago, but like, what did you do from your marketing perspective in your business to say, hey, this is what we do and this is why it's safe and you can trust us, to where we're at today? Like, what were some things that you had to do to kind of get buy-in from people to say, this is probably a good decision?
Right. Well, you know, we've invested in building our brand from the get-go. And so, again, this was also kind of the goal was, okay, so we're going to pivot to self-serve at some point in the future. This is back in, you know, the game plan I'm making in 2018, right. 2019. Well, when this technology arrives, right, when AI, because yeah, I studied computer science in college, I believe that AI was going to be this massive, huge deal.
Yeah, yeah. But you were in the small group, like you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the bowel of the beast with these machine learning scientists and researchers, like at MIT and Harvard, like being like, "Holy shit, this is going to be massive." This moment's, you know, I know this moment's going to arrive. Right. But what's the groundwork needed to prepare for this moment? And so for us, it's like, well, we want to be the first out of the gate when this technology arrives. So that means we need to build a brand so that we have trust from consumers and customers and enterprises that we are the trusted brand in this space, because there's going to be a ton of noise suddenly when this technology arrives, right? All these other vendors are going to pop up out of nowhere trying to also take advantage of this opportunity.
100%.
And so this was where we were from, you know, 2018, just consistently releasing this marketing message. OmniKey generates personalized ads at scale. OmniKey is the data-driven platform for improving sales powered by generative AI. Before any of this technology, you know, was, you know, had been, you know, like...
Right, right. And everyone was probably looking at it going, uh-huh.
And you're right. I mean, there was a lot of incredible skepticism for the first many years, and probably indefinitely rightly so, because the technology just wasn't there yet. But I had faith that the technology would arrive and that we would be able to execute it. And it did arrive, and then we did execute it. And, you know, so you have to kind of, you know, you have to call your shot and bank the shop. We, you know, I had confidence that we'd do this. And so this is why, for example, ChatGPT references us 6 times higher than any of our competitors in ad creation space.
Awesome.
And, you know, we've surpassed many of our competitors in terms of search traffic, in terms of web traffic as well, and definitely in terms of growth because of this groundwork we'd put in.
I love it. I love it. Now, this is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So along with that growth, though, having been a part of a startup that also experienced some really, really rapid growth like you're seeing right now, what kind of problems are you hitting that you didn't anticipate? What kind of things that did you kind of like, crud, I didn't really think that was going to be a problem, but it is. Share with us something like that's hit you in the last couple of years.
Well, first of all, like, I think your tech stack is totally, you know, when you have 20 customers and then you have 200 customers and you have 5,000 plus customers or 10,000 customers, like it's just different tech stack, right? Like you suddenly the you know, you didn't realize how leaky of a bucket you had built until you dump tons of water into it. And then you suddenly realize it's really leaky.
right.
And the holes appear in the most, you know,
weird spots
you just didn't know. Like, and again, this is, you know, these are all engineering trade-offs that some engineer made at some point, being like, for the speed, you know, for purpose of speed, they made some trade-offs and it wasn't very apparent. But now suddenly it is very apparent that we have all these issues. And that is happening in every corner of the product, right? And the platform, whether it's at the DevOps level and the permissioning to the to distributed nature of how you're serving this content, and then to the like just the way you're calling these APIs may have not been the most effective or cost effective or recent, or you may have just been very wasteful, that now suddenly has to be rewritten to be more streamlined and scalable to the customer experience. And so I think there's just tons of engineering work.
It just happens.
And then now you have to spend engineering time rebuilding this stuff instead of necessarily, you know, I mean, it's a balance of both, you know, fighting fires and also innovating and continuing to build new features and building product and, you know, feature improvements for just because it is a competitive space and the ball is constantly moving. The goalpost is constantly moving as technology also improves. And so you have to keep updating your product while also fighting all these fires.
Well, and that really is the balancing act, right? You and I both have seen a lot of companies that have a successful launch and then they get so busy fighting fires, they're not innovating. How do you find that balancing point with your company, and what are you trying to do from a proactive standpoint to make sure that you are always innovating as well as keeping clients happy.
Well, you know, you got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, and you got to get the team comfortable with being uncomfortable. So it really was pushing to the very boundaries of, like, you know, at least on a business sense, you know, comfort. And so, like, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, like, constant, you're in constant conflict with your engineering team, like, without any doubt, because they, you know, you're pushing them in ways that is, you know, just hard. Like, is, you know, they're just drowning in work and have very high expectations. And do I focus
on client problems, or do I focus on bringing this new thing to light? Like, it is a hard balancing act. And how do you, as a director of the ship, kind of like, how are you able to, I guess, set the expectation of we're innovating or we're fixing? Like, how do you kind of balance that from a director level?
Well, if it's a P critical bug, right? If it's a P0 bug, if it's a bug that affects the core usability of the product for many users, then that definitely is a priority. And so I think, you know, you have this prioritization factor of, like, impact and speed of fixing that issue, right? Or impact, right. And, you know, that's like a classic product management kind of mechanism. And so you're just having a huge list of to-do items, and you're always ranking them based on, well, what is the impact that this is going to do, whether it's a new feature or fixing an existing feature, and how quickly can it get done. And then you're kind of, you know, like, you're filling out this jar of, you know, both big and small rocks, and you're kind of fitting and balancing out, like, both the big rocks and the small rocks, and you're fitting in small rocks with the big rocks.
Totally.
You know, allocating different team members in different ways. And then at the same time, though, you're having team engineers kind of be familiar with everyone else's code as well. So there's not a single point of dependency. Like, if something breaks, somebody else can step in and help fix it. It's not just one engineer. And if this one engineer decides to, you know, something happens to them. Or they're just, you know,
hit by a bus. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Or it's just the weekend, you know, or they're sleeping you know, something like this, and suddenly the platform stops working for, you know, you don't want the platform to be down for 12 hours. You want to quickly fix these issues. And so you have some level of redundancy, but, you know, you're doing that and at the same time as having a constrained team, because we're a startup, we have a very lean team.
Yeah.
So therefore people are always kind of, you know, it just every you're always feeling kind of stretched thin. But that's kind of expected.
And that's not a bad thing all the time either. You know, it is actually a good thing to feel like, you know, I don't know. Constraints drive innovation, which generally makes your whole company more efficient.
I mean, you know, if capital could solve all problems, there would never be a world of startups, right? Like, so, that's just the reality. So, like, capital is not the constraint ever, you know, in terms of innovation and growth. It is almost always dedicated, focused human labor. So this is the classic, I mean, this is the classic quote. This is like the big theme, right? Which is, like, labor will always be a constraint for capital growth, at least for the foreseeable future. And as long as labor is the constraint for capital growth, then there will always be, you know, jobs for people. There will never be, and I don't see labor being completely automated by AI anytime soon because of this factor. No. There will always be opportunities for entrepreneurial people in focus groups, pools of labor and teams, focus on the mission, out executing better capitalized incumbents. That's just the story of capitalism. And that, I don't see that dynamic changing anytime soon.
Well, I love that you say that. And honestly, without knowing it, you actually tiptoed through my entire growth strategy framework I use to help consulting. You literally just navigated the three big problems I see, and the three big problems I've heard over and over on this podcast has always been, you know, out of 550 companies or CEOs I've interviewed, it always comes down to their growth constraints are either people related, processes related, or systems, tech stack. And you literally, as we started talking about the challenges of your growth, you've addressed all three without me even asking about them, which I want everyone listening to understand that these are constraints, but they're generally required constraints. I mean, you're always juggling between people, processes, and tools. As you started, because clearly you know your business from a very technical level, as well as, you know, you're a marketer. Right. That's not a normal combo. But as you see other companies around you struggling to kind of fill some of these key roles. What's some advice you can give to people in helping to adapt to the people needs of your company? Because that seems to be one of the biggest constraints people deal with.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to do the work yourself to some extent, a little bit at least, for you to know what you're lacking in and to be able to also hire properly in those roles. And so,
fair.
Like, you know, there's always this impulse, which is if you have a problem, just to hire for it. But that is like the wrong impulse. Whenever you see a problem, if you're a leader, if you're a leader, you see a problem, you have to run towards that problem. You have to roll up, Stephen. You have to be the first into the, whatever. That whole,
at least understand what's causing the problem, right?
Because you have to figure out what is at a first principles or basic level, what is the issue? Right. If you have a culture where you're just trying to fix problems with capital or with people or more resources, that is infinitely kind of computing.
It's like a government bureaucracy at that point.
Yeah, it just becomes this humongous black hole of resources, right? Because then they're going to hire more people to solve this problem, and they're going to hire, and then suddenly this small problem has actually turned into a much bigger problem.
Totally.
And it's a new problem that's created by you and by, not.
Right.
So, whether it's about that event, once you've kind of grokked what that problem is, then you figure out, well, is it a tool problem? Is it a system problem? Or is it a people problem? And then make adjustments. Maybe you need to replace somebody. Maybe you need to replace a tool. Maybe a tool is up and outdated. Maybe some certain system is no longer relevant anymore in this next iteration of the company. And so then you got to reimagine that. But the leader has to be in there with the team figuring it out, because if you don't take responsibility for that, that is the job of the CEO in many ways, is you have to go in and solve those hairy problems.
Or at least be involved in the decisions to solve the problem.
Or at least even at minimum, your presence has to be there, because then it shows to the team that you care and this is an important thing. If the leader isn't there, the people might not think it's that important. And then, then it becomes a bigger problem. So
that's awesome advice. Yeah. Now, that's awesome advice. And that's exactly what I was hoping to hear from you, because I think it's consistent with a lot of other leaders that have talked about addressing that problem. And I feel like clearly you're on the right path. I think I'm fascinated to see where Omnikey is going to be going here in the near future, and as it adapts to the ever-changing world of AI and generative ads and all the other stuff. But thank you so much for taking the time to do this with us. Honestly, I think that you've delivered some real value nuggets that our audience is going to love in terms of their ability to grow and scale. And just hearing your experience is inspiring. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that with us.
Thank you, Todd. And also, I enjoyed, our 1 hour conversation prior to this call as well, which should be its own podcast on.
Totally. I wish I'd recorded.
And so it's just, thank you for the wide ranging conversations. It's been a real pleasure.
And for those listening, make sure you go try the trial. I'll put links down below, but honestly, I'm going to go try it, because why not? I mean, I need to know if this is for real, and I will be posting about it and my experiences of using it here in the near future. So thanks so much, Ikari.
Thank you, Todd.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed that episode. As with all of our guests that we've enjoyed on this podcast, we hope you take a minute to reflect on how relevant was that to your growth journey? How relevant is that to your business? If you are not taking steps to grow and scale your business, chances are you're not growing or scaling. So how do you know if you're growth ready? Check it out at growthreadiness.com. If you haven't done so already, we have a free assessment at growthreadiness.com. That's right, growthreadiness.com. And measure up to see if you truly are growth ready. If that magical amount of funding or that magical client popped into your doorstep today, would you be ready? Could you grow and scale your business with what you've got ready right now? Chances are there are some places you're strong, there's some places you're weak. We let you explore that for free at growthreadiness.com. Click on the assessment at the top right, and we challenge everyone that listens to the podcast to go see how growth ready your business is from your perspective as an owner, founder, operations director, or even a sales manager. Is your company on a path to growth readiness? If it's not, reach out. Let us know what we can do to help. We have tons of resources, tons of free stuff, and some really, really high quality paid stuff that's going to help your company reach that level of growth that you hoped it could be on. Whether you're aiming for exit, whether you're aiming for a fundraise, or whether you're just trying to sustain the growth you've already had, go to growthreadiness.com and check out what you're doing and if it's working for you. Thanks for being a part of the Growth and Scaling podcast. We hope all these interviews are helping you determine the best path for your growth and giving you real-world examples of what you could be doing in your business today.